But the other thing I did want to talk about before getting into Catholic news today, we'll do that in our next segment. Donald Trump gave a huge foreign policy speech this week, and basically he lambasted and declared war on the architects of the New World Order. Here's just a bit of that speech.
No country has ever prospered that failed to put its own interests first. We will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism. I am skeptical of international unions that tie us up and bring America down.
Now, it's clear to me that the way Trump's been treated, the attacks that have been gone against him by the media and by certain figures in the media, is that he's not a part of their club. He is not, although he has called the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, he said he admires him. Trump is not in on the inside. He's not part of this New World Order. And I look at him very much as an Andrew Jackson type figure. You know, 1820s, this populist guy who came out of nowhere and really took the political establishment by storm. And Trump is throwing a wrench into the plans of these globalists. And he continues to do that. And further on in this speech, he goes and says that. And I want to play some for you.
Unfortunately, after the Cold War, our foreign policy veered badly off course. We failed to develop a new vision for a new time. In fact, as time went on, our foreign policy began to make less and less sense. Logic was replaced with foolishness and arrogance, which led to one foreign policy disaster after another.
Now, I want to stop there and give a quick comment, because, again, after the Cold War, everyone's saying, well, liberal democracy is the way to go. All countries are slowly developing towards that. This is our peace. This is where we need to help countries evolve to. And Trump is entirely spot on here. He's saying we replaced it with foolishness and arrogance. And this is what he's talking about. And he's really going after these globalists who think they can reshape the world in terms of Western institutions, liberal democracy, so-called free markets, way of life, everything. And I think, you know, the term I give this is Westernism, the heresy of Westernism. And these is intellectual class thinks and has this arrogance that it's going to go into each country, Ukraine, all these countries in Europe, Eastern Europe, and pick one off, each one by one, by funneling money in there, fomenting civil strife, and overthrowing, as they're doing with ISIS in Syria, and as they did in Iraq with Al-Qaeda, as they did in Afghanistan in the 70s with the Mujahideen. They fund these groups and think they can turn over each one of them into a operating Western democracy that will so-called uphold the values of peace and freedom and these things that these Western countries think they can impose on these people. So Trump is spot on here. He's on to their plan, and he goes on and he continues to say,
we went from mistakes in Iraq to Egypt to Libya to President Obama's line in the sand in Syria. It all began with a dangerous idea that we could make Western democracies out of countries that had no experience or interest in becoming a Western democracy. We tore up what institutions they had, and then were surprised at what we unleashed. Civil war, religious fanaticism, thousands of Americans and just killed, lives wasted, horribly wasted.
Now again, this is something that these neocons and these globalists hate. They don't like being told that what they did was somehow incorrect, or that they don't like being reminded of the death and the debt and the money costs associated with being an American imperial power. Okay? They don't like saying or viewing or having people say, as Trump did in this speech, hey, let's sit down with Russia. You know, let's sit down with those who historically have been our adversaries. Because what that does is that it disallows, or rather, it disabuses the American population from seeing the world as an us versus them mentality. They're evil, we're good, we need to fight them. Now, obviously, there is evil in the world, but the advantage of having an enemy out there to always point at, like Putin, you know, they always call him a thug or a KGB agent or whatever. But this man has restricted abortions in his country. He's disallowed homosexual unions. He doesn't allow adoption for gay persons. This man is more of a Christian than any of these commentators who simply have the arrogance to go into these countries, foment again the sorts of civil wars, and have thousands of persons killed, all for the sake of this political game of overthrowing the Middle East so their corporate buddies, their oil companies, can go in and flip them upside down after centuries of values have been erected there, and to say, now you're going to be a Western country. Right? This is their end game. Okay, and Trump is not a part of it. And now, granted, there are parts of this speech which are confusing and seemingly contradictory, but when you listen to these folks in the media respond to it, and I want to play first a clip from Fareed Zakaria. Now, Zakaria is one of the most well-known globalists out there. He works for the Council on Foreign Relations. He has close ties with George Soros, who recently was kicked out of Russia because Russia knows how dangerous Soros is. He's this 80-something-year-old. He's billed as a philanthropist, humanitarian. He's someone who wants to remake the world, again, into Western values, so to speak. Again, and we know what Western values mean. It's social hedonism. Do whatever you want. Religious pluralism. So there's not going to be any sort of religious establishment. It's going to be secularism. And it's going to be mass economic inequality due to laissez-faire market economics. That's what's really behind the scenes here when these guys talk about Western values. And Trump's onto it. And so here's what Zakaria says. It's the only play he has. Instead of confronting what Trump says about globalists, okay, Zakaria attacks him for being incoherent.
It was sort of rambling to the point of being incoherent. So I thought that when he tried to flesh out an actual foreign policy, it was pretty incoherent. He was very strong on his protectionism, anti-trade, American unilateralism. He was very strong on attacking the Obama-Clinton legacy. And as you say, really, that's mostly the Bush legacy when he talks about the trillions of dollars spent trying to nation build in the Middle East.
So again, Zakaria is someone who has a show on CNN. He's in the game, so to speak. Charles Krauthammer, another one of these imperialists who comments over at Fox News, had something very similar, almost eerily similar, to what Zakaria said.
That it is wandering and meandering and incoherent as when he speaks off the cuff. If you aren't in a region, it'll become unstable, or it becomes unstable. We have no control. So at the one hand, it was sort of semi-isolationist. I think it wasn't consistent.
So again, incoherent, sloppy, doesn't make any sense. Now, there are parts, granted. We don't have time to get into all of them today. Maybe next week. Be that as it may, this isn't a completely incoherent speech. Trump has said a number of times in the past certain things. One, we need to rethink our relationship with NATO. It's a very concrete thing. Two, he's re-challenging free trade, globalization, things like NAFTA. He said, no way. Three, he says, look, we need to speak with Russia and China. Obviously, we have difficult relationships with them, but he's saying we need to speak with Russia. That's a completely different attitude than what these globalists are talking about. Trump is again calling out these sorts of agreements like the European Union. President Obama, you should know, just went to the UK to encourage that country to stay in the European Union. Trump is talking about not making mistakes, like going into Iraq, Egypt, and Libya and overthrowing these people. So there are concrete policies Trump has put forth. I'm willing to give him some leeway and say, all right, there were some things that really don't make sense here. Trump, again, is calling for, again, building up our military. But our military is already enormous. It's completely adequately funded. Trump is, I think, wrong on the Iran deal. But on the same show that Charles Krauthammer was on, this was on Special Report with Brett Baer on Fox News, and sitting right next to him was Laura Ingraham. Laura is a Catholic. She runs the website LifeZet. She's very pro-life. She said something right after Charles Krauthammer said that was very refreshing, and I think she gets this game that's going on, and I appreciate what she said, so I want to play it for you.
I think for regular Americans watching it, it seemed to confirm what they believe, many of them, that after the Cold War, our foreign policy has been confused and confusing and not necessarily producing positive results for the American people, our allies, our security. We don't enforce our own borders, but we're really, you know, vexed about Syria's and Iraq's. We have thousands of men and women who've lost their lives, PTSD, suicides. And yet the region is very unstable. A lot of that has to do with Obama. But I think people want a sense that when we go into another country, if we have to, it really redounds to America's benefit. I don't think that's radical. I think that's a lot more commonsensical than the idea that you can go into a country that's not even really a country, that's kind of cobbled together over this decades, and we're going to disband their army, and we're going to somehow bring Western values to that place. I think it's a dramatic turn in U.S. foreign policy, and I think it's going to get a lot of the right people upset, and a lot of experts are going to be really angry because they know that their kind of days are numbered if Trump is the commander-in-chief.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, these globalists who we may as well just call colonists, these colonizers, they understand the danger Trump poses to their desire to impose their values on the rest, so-called values, on the rest of the sovereign world. And they understand that with him in there, their guys, you know, their architects, their behind-the-scenes players are not in the club. They're not going to get those invites to the White House. Trump is someone, again, who says, hey, we got to put America first. Whereas these other folks are internationalists. They want to put the United Nations first. They want to put the sovereignty of Europe collectively and not the individual nation state. They want to override that sovereignty and override that authority. And this is a very dangerous game. It's a very dangerous game. But Trump is on to it. And we'll see, again, I've said this all along. Go read my essay on akacatholic.com. It's called Trump versus the New World Order. And I lay out exactly where and why these guys are afraid of a potential Trump presidency. And they're doing everything they can. Some of them are saying, we're going to go vote for Hillary Clinton instead. And so I think, you know, Trump has all the right enemies. And this speech only confirms it. And, you know, he called them out. I was watching these guys on TV right after this speech. Folks like David Gergen, who's a professor at Harvard, who's advised Reagan, a whole bunch of different presidents, Nixon, Ford. I mean, Trump is calling all these people out, and they're sitting there trying with a straight face to give actual commentary on it as if somehow Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. When he's hit them right between the eyes, and they have a bloody nose, and they're sitting here trying to say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I mean, Trump knows who he's playing games with, and these guys do too. All right? So I thought it was a good speech. Sure, there were parts where we needed some more specifics, and there were some confusing remarks. But, you know, we'll hear that in the coming days and weeks. And if ever Trump gets into the Oval Office, again, we'll see what unfolds. But, you know, keep that in mind going forward. This is a much bigger thing than just, as some people say, oh, well, he's a billionaire, he offends me. This is a huge, huge thing in our nation's history, I think. And really, in many ways, will solidify once and for all. Are we a democracy that obeys the will of the people? Or are we an oligarchy? A kleptocracy? A country ruled by the elites? Because, again, the elites do not want Trump in there whatsoever. Hang tight, though, folks. We'll be right back on Church and State with some Catholic news before getting to our last brand new segment in our show today. See you in a second.